You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. Download our free mobile app. It's a great resource to have in your pocket. There's a digital Bible. There's all of our teachings on there. There's an online community that you can interact with and be a part of. And if you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on your notifications. We don't want you to miss anything as we go through our studies. And we are at the tail end of the Gospel of Matthew. I've said it past couple days, and I'll just keep saying it. I'm just so appreciative of those of you who have been with us throughout this whole entire journey. If you're just listening, and I know we have new listeners that jump on each and every day, consider going back to the beginning, right? Either of the Gospel of Matthew or the Gospel of John, which is what we've gotten through. Looks like we're going to close this out. We're going to do something through the next week that will go ahead and go through the things that Jesus said on the cross, and I've got some ideas around that. So that's a little bit of a follow-up to this, and I love doing that. At the time of this recording, it's Holy Week. We're going into Holy Week, right? And I just find it so powerful to analyze what Jesus said on the cross and what he chose to say in his time of struggle, in his time of crucifixion, right? You really get to see his heart there. And I just think that's a great study. So I hope you'll continue on. I hope you'll invite people to join us. But if you were with us yesterday, you'll know that we are studying out the empty tomb. The tomb is empty. What Jesus promised, he followed through on, which shouldn't be a surprise for those of us who have followed Jesus. He always keeps his promises. And as we studied the women who were always so faithful to him, they show up with their spices. They likely didn't know that Rome had put a seal on the tomb, but how many of you know that human seals can't keep out the truth of God? They can try to suppress it. We as humanity could try to suppress the truth, but the truth will always come out. The light will always overtake the darkness, and the truth will set you free. Amen. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28, 8 through 15, and we're going to study out exactly what happened after kind of the, I don't want to use the term chaos, but look, angel moves the stone out of the way. You have Roman guards that are terrified, and you have the followers of Jesus who are obviously ecstatic. And they leave that place, and that's where we start with verse 8, and their immediate inclination, their immediate reaction, which is a good one, is to go and tell people what they saw. I love when somebody accepts Christ for the first time. If they ask me any advice, and this is the advice that I had gotten when I made that decision to follow Christ, go and tell somebody. Go and tell somebody. Because that is the true mark of a witness, right? And we are witnesses to Jesus. And these individuals were eyewitnesses to Jesus. See, a witness is more than someone who observes an event. A witness to the fullest sense is someone who observes the event and then goes out and shares what they experienced. In the purest sense of the word, that is a witness. And what we're going to study today is really the tale of two witnesses. Witnesses who are committed to the truth and witnesses who are committed to lies. See, there's nothing new under the sun, okay? The times then are very similar to the times now. Those who want self-preservation, those who want to get things by ill-gotten gain will always move toward lies. Lies, manipulation, you name it. And those who will stand for the truth will pay somewhat of a price, but that price is worth paying. Amen? There is nothing more valuable to our legacy that we live here on earth than to be willing to stand for the truth. And that's my prayer for you, is that you would and I would live our lives in a way that we will be witnesses to the truth. And by witnesses, I mean those who are willing to not only observe, not only experience, not only partake of, but to share it with others. Because what I will promise you is that the contrasting message will always exist. And it's a matter of the church and how vocal we can be as advocates for humanity, as Christ was an advocate for humanity, as the Holy Spirit that is inside of us is an advocate for us and a helper to us and a guide to us. We are meant to be the physical manifestation of the power of God here on earth, just as Jesus was. Amen? So let's read. I'm going to read it all the way through, and then we'll spend some time. So remember, Jesus is resurrected, and the tomb is empty. And it will go back to verse 8. It says, "So the women hurried from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy." Again, you know, wow. The impossible is possible. So what does that mean for our life? And when you grasp that, the butterflies start to happen. Because you know, if all things are possible, then you're going to have to do some stuff that's going to push your comfort zone. And God wants you somewhat uncomfortable because God always wants you reaching for greater things. So these women leave with a little bit of fear, but filled with joy. And they ran to tell the disciples. And on the way, of course, they meet Jesus. And suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and they clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the impossible." You want to know why? It's by his strength, not your strength. So let's continue, and let's see what transpires here. So while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If the report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Now, that last statement, that the story has been widely circulated among the Jews until this very day, was, of course, Matthew saying, hey, this is the thought that's going on. This is the lie that's circulating. But let's be honest, that lie is still circulating today. And that's where I would venture. We talked a little bit about proof points of the resurrection itself. Now, you may take the position of, you know, I don't know how somebody could resurrect from the dead. Well, the question is, was Jesus God? And if Jesus was God, and I will position to you that he is, okay, he can't just be a teacher. He can't just be a good rabbi. He can't just be a prophet, because he, under no uncertain terms, presented himself as God. He said, "I and the Father are one." He called himself "I am." He forgave sins, which only God can do. There is no doubt, and there will be people that will try to tell you otherwise, but Jesus absolutely positioned himself as God. So he's either God or he's nuts. Hear my heart on that. So they go out, right? And let me back up a little bit here too. And you will hear good people say, well, I think Jesus was just a good guy. When I say good, good by the world standards, all of our righteousness is like filthy rags to God, right? None of us is really good and righteous. It's Jesus that makes us righteous. But the truth is the truth. And you see the dueling witnesses here. And again, what I wanted to go back to is, you may say it's hard to imagine that somebody would raise from the dead. But again, if Jesus is God, he can do all things. If there's a creator that created heaven and earth, then that creator has no bounds as to what he can do. But I position to you, it's at least equally, and I would even say more so, unlikely that you have here these Roman guards that are trained. Right? They're trained in loyalty. They're trained in discipline. They're trained in, honestly, to fear for their own lives constantly. One mistake and they are dead. And that's why they trembled in fear, probably even more so than seeing the angel. They're trembling in fear because they know that the consequences for them failing to guard that tomb is that they would be dead. So what do? They run to the chief priest. They certainly can't run to Pilate. They certainly can't run back to their commanders because they're dead on arrival. So they go back to the chief priest. And I'll tell you what, this is also a testament to the political power of the chief priests. It most certainly is. And this is the type of power that the chief priests wanted to hold on to. Okay, it's why they continued. It's why they put together a large sum of money. They said, go to Pilate, we'll take care of the governor. Okay? You just have to say this. And the lie was that. That's another thing, right? You're gonna tell me that 11, remember Judas is dead, 11 fishermen, tax collectors, and ordinary dudes are going to suppress Roman guards, roll away a massive stone, take this body away, and be able to hide the body, which, by the way, was never produced. And I can go all day on this. Hope you catch what I'm saying here, how unlikely that is. But here we have these Roman guards accepting a large bribe, spreading a lie. Now, we don't know whether they were killed anyway. I mean, seeing the behavior of the chief priests, I don't think that they really cared whether these Roman guards lived or died, right? But you would think also that upon being executed, they would have ratted out the chief priests as well as paying them the bribe. I don't know. I think about all this stuff, right? So chances are it all laid out the way the chief priests wanted, right? Doesn't say that they were killed. You know, the chief priests weren't blamed for trying to deceive the governor, which wouldn't have went over well either. So here we are. We have dueling accounts going out. We have the disciples, these women, going back to spread the good news and ultimately, of course, spread the good news all over the known inhabited earth. And then you have those who willingly deceive, tell others the deception, who willingly or unwillingly now go and deceive. See, information gets spread. Again, I said it earlier, there's nothing new under the sun. We see it today. We see those who are bent on self-preservation, on preserving their own power, that want to go out and they want to spread untruth. And by spreading untruth, in the overwhelming majority of cases, it means contrasting the word of God, the will of God, the nature of God, everything that you and I stand for in truth. So that's where I leave us today. Understanding that there are dual messages out there. And honestly, there's one message of the truth, the way, the truth, the life, Jesus, and there's a million bajillion other messages out there. I've said this before, right? There's there's millions of ways to do things wrong, but there's one right way, and that's Jesus. If we're talking about absolute truth. If we're talking about the savior of the world, we're talking about the creator, talking about the existence of an intelligent designer, all of that is manifested, right? Scripture tells us that Jesus is the physical manifestation of the invisible God. And you and I have the opportunity to be witnesses, one who partakes of everything that God has to offer. But remember, we are witnesses when we're willing to share that. And whether or not you share the truth that is inside of you, the message of the false witness is always going to be out there. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, I do know a little bit about you. The testimonies that I get from you about how God has changed your life. You understand that that testimony can change the lives of others. That testimony will set other people free. But it won't if you're not willing to tell it, if you're not willing to share it. You say, well, Jason, I don't know how to share my faith. It's very simple. It's very simple in the way that you act. And the more you draw close to Jesus and learn about Jesus, the more that you can act like Jesus. And sometimes you don't even necessarily have to give scripture and verse. You just be who he is. But there will be a time where you have the opportunity to what? Have an answer for the hope that is inside of you. And I pray that you would boldly do it. Because it's not only your words. You have to understand, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So when you don't know what to say, God gives you the words to say. You just got to be willing to go. You've just got to be willing to open your mouth and speak. And you watch. You watch and see. Maybe, you know, I am going to tell this story. I remember after I first had gotten saved, I was heading back to New York because I lived in Atlanta, and I was thinking about visiting my grandmother. For those of you who know me for a while, that's my Mimi, right? So heading back, and I'm thinking to myself, and I said, how am I going to tell Mimi, right? A woman who's been here for, been on earth for a long time. How am I going to open up? Because I witnessed, but I'm still young in the faith. I said, God, just, I'm going to go and I'm going to tell her about Jesus, but you got to help me because I don't know if I know what to say. Well, I get back and I sit down. She was kind of bedridden at that point, and I'm sitting down next to her. And I said, God, well, you've got to come through and give me an opening. So I go, so Mimi, how you doing? Like really, how are you doing? And she just opens up. I mean, I've talked to her a bunch of times and conversations like this never happened. She goes, Jason, I just got to be honest with you. I'm just afraid because I don't know what it takes to get to heaven. You cannot have the opportunity more on a silver platter than that. The reason why I tell you that story is because if you're willing, God is not looking for perfect. He's looking for willing. He will create the opportunities and he will give you the words and all you have to do is be a willing vessel for him. I hope that makes sense and I hope that message blessed you. That was a personal memory of mine, but it was powerful. And she prayed with me that day and she gave her heart over to Jesus. And, I know I'm going to see her again. I know she's there with Jesus and my pops and you know, listen, we're far longer there than we are here. And I'm glad that I was given the measure of boldness that I needed to just be willing to share my faith that day. And that's what I charge you with as you go out today. Be a witness of truth. Stand up for the truth. Society has been changed by those who are willing to stand up for the truth. I can give you a million different scenarios, but I think about the civil rights movement. What if Rosa Parks moved her seat? What if Martin Luther King, just got bitter and didn't do anything about what was going on? What if the people during the time, the abolitionists, didn't stand up against slavery? Right? Many people have died for the truth, but those are the people who have truly lived. Truly live. Spread the truth. Spread life. Because the alternative is a message of deception and death. And that may sound dramatic, but it's true. It's true. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the kingdom except through him. And that is a powerful message that you have inside of you that will change your life and change the lives of others. I hope that charges you up today. We're going to continue tomorrow. We're going to close out Matthew chapter 28 tomorrow. A little more of this. The Great Commission. I'm so happy to be on this earth in this generation with you where we can spread the good news. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we go out into our world today, as we encounter people, as we encounter opportunities to be imitators of you, give us the measure of boldness that we need to be witnesses of truth in this generation. If you embrace that, say amen. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church, Deer Park, New York. Check us out, soh.church. We're the 1% Christian, right? 100 starts with one. Now go out and do something for Christ's sake. Be a witness of truth. I love you guys. Have a great day.